Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Salonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, their leads took the crew of the Sky on Fire to the Blackwind Crater, where the crew made use of cunning and a well-aimed shot from the captain to gain entrance to the Veiled Sorority's jungle hideaway. Accompanied by the vengeful Taglong Graf, they made their way through the base, containing and eliminating threats as they went, taking heavy damage. More than once, a party member almost fell, but the pirates could not stop the determined bounty hunters. Weary and broken through fire and blood, the crew has the end in sight. But just how dangerous is a cornered queen? Find out on this week's episode, Trial by Fire.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 1, Episode 13. And I am Ben, the GM for this adventure.
This Gand's name is Cav. This Gand is a bounty hunter. This Gand is a killer. This Gand is badly hurt. This hunt is nothing like the Holovids.
I'm Barrowin. I am also a bounty hunter. And I'm starting to regret my career choices.
I am Billy, and I am recalling a certain Holovid in which was not a bounty hunter, but was rather a enforcement officer of some variety, was trapped in a building. And I believe that he was quite wounded before the end of his adventure.
Does Billy mean the building based dead in the water?
I believe that would be correct. I dare say the concept has been explored in many different venues.
Cav has seen that one.
And I'm Pastrano, and in honesty, I actually have seen more violence than this in one go. But I didn't care quite as much as now, which is the reason for my concern. But yes, no, this is not as gruesome as I have seen in the past.
This Gand is disturbed.
Have you not ever seen a gladiator fight?
No. Is there blood?
We should have to take you to one at some point. Oh yes, if you sit in the front row, you will not leave clean.
I believe the term is splash zone.
Yes, yes.
This Gand feels ill.
Well, that's because you shouldn't be pushing on that spot on your stomach quite so hard. Just gentle pressure until we get you back to the...
But it feels weird, Vistrano.
It should. Yes. That means you still have nerve sensation there. That's good. Yes.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, it is Billy's turn to ask.
Captain Barrowin.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered a hat?
A hat?
Yes. Perhaps one, as they refer to as a tricorn.
I can't say that I have, Billy.
I believe you would cut a dashing figure. I feel as though perhaps you should take pride in your rank as captain and dress the part with some more flourish.
Cav has never made a hat before, but Cav could give it a go.
I used to have to wear one of those Salonian tiara things that I don't think have names. I did not like it.
No, Barrowin doesn't seem like much of a tiara type.
I mean, it was part of my uniform, Cav.
But hat. Cav thinks Billy is onto something.
I mean, I guess if it went with my coat, maybe?
Yes! That is permission, Billy.
The camera pans in over a lush green forest, centers in on this floating blue ball that has a single photoreceptor in it, just finishes flashing a communication out over a ledge that it's on, and then scuttles back into a facility. It passes by a air car off to its left, passes through large doors into a cargo hold that has a fire burning on one side that seems to be spreading into hydraulic fuel, and continues past, almost jumping to the side to avoid it, and then follows up and finds the Hydean heroes and Graf down a hallway where they find a musty room that is dark and littered with garbage. Several old terminals damaged by blaster fire or explosives long ago hulk uselessly in the chamber. As you squint in the poor lighting, you look. You think you can make out old bones in the rubble. Whatever happened here took place a very long time ago. And now I want a group perception check.
Cav only has 2 green for perception. Cav is much better at vigilance. Oh, wait a minute. However, K4, 5, and 6 are trained in perception. So they have a mighty 3 or 2 ranks.
Barrowin is worse than Kev.
Britt, do you have anything to bring to the table?
So anybody have better than 2 ranks?
I have 3 cunning, but no ranks in this at all.
So then I guess one of you is assisting the droids, right? Because they're 2 ranks, but they only have a 1 cunning, so the 3 cunning would help them out a lot.
Hey, last time we made Brit roll for someone, it went really well, so that's my vote.
Okay. Yeah, I figure, you know, I'm being slightly perceptive right now. I guess that makes sense.
Yep. So what, 2 yellows and a green.
Mm-hmm. 3 boosts on account of other people helping.
So I don't actually have to roll anything. Okay.
And 3 red. For difficulty.
We want to flip a light side point and have a yellow in there. Is Graf helping? Is Graf helpful?
Graf is not that helpful.
Do we need lights?
It's kind of flickering lights in that area.
I mean, but we have a barrow in.
But there's no setbacks to remove, I don't think.
She can see in the dark.
Yes.
Oh, those wacky mechanics.
Yeah, no, there is not.
So what's our group perception end up being then?
I mean, it sounds like it's 2 yellows, a green, and 3 boosts versus 3 red.
Right, Britt, this is you.
I mean, I think you got elected to roll.
Yes, we elected you. Because your rolling is better.
Okay, I'm scared. I'm hitting enter. Boom.
Yeah, that could have been much worse.
All right.
What do you get?
All right, you lovely listeners. I got a failure. But an advantage. An advantageous failure.
Okay, so in trying to perceive what's going on there, like there was something that caught an eye or a photoreceptor for briefest of moment and then just sort of faded away. The question I've got is, what would you like to do with the advantage? This is the old communication center of the facility, but it looks like this is the one room that has never truly been repaired.
Maybe we find something cool, like old Clone Wars related, if this room hasn't really been used. Maybe, like, if we want it for Cav, it could be a cool old droid part or something, or...
Yeah, that sums it up.
Not an eye patch.
I my mind immediately thinks of so many cool things, like, how about a droid Deca shield generator? But no, for one advantage, what's something interesting?
The proof of purchase for a droid Deca's shield generator.
Maybe one of the previous inhabitants of this this area was a ship model collector, and there's a new little model for Barrowin.
That'd be adorable, yes!
It's just this one Nemoidian who's been stationed at this base with just droids.
Perfect. Totally. And was just finishing up building a Luker Hulk, and then it was assaulted by clone troopers.
Well, it's a little vintage, but I think I have space for this.
Do we have a place to store it for the moment where it will not be damaged?
I'm still wearing a backpack.
I believe it was full.
I mean, that's when there were grenades in it. Instead of grenades in the, you know.
Cav's storage space and Cav's droids.
I think the captain gets a boost from this cool little model. It's vintage and stylish.
I can go with it. All right.
Barrowin deposits the model Lucre Hulk in her backpack.
So what happens with the failure, Ben?
I was going on, actually kind of described it a little bit earlier, that there was something that twinged, like as the group was looking through this destroyed comm room, there was something at the edge of a photoreceptor or a eye that caught someone's attention for a split second. But then when everyone started looking, no, there's just nothing there.
Billy is still curious and would like to make sure is there a door that we opened, or is this like just a caved in room?
There's two entrances to this place. Pretty much from either end of this hallway, you can enter into this room that has two major consoles on it, actually it'd be more like four, where like a bunch of people can sit and communicate and coordinate for a battlefield or like control a bunch of droids. But it looks like the area has taken several grenade hits, and there looks to be like some poor beings remain still in the pile of rubble that the center of the room is. There's not a clear path through, or at least it doesn't look like there's a clear path through.
So there's like maybe a partial ceiling collapse?
Yeah, it looks like a partial ceiling collapse in there that came down and piled up onto and next to some of the consoles that were there.
Well, this game is pretty sure there's one more path the crew has yet to explore.
Because we're in 12, we haven't been to 11, right?
Would we like to seal these doors? Or would we like to make sure there's nothing in here first?
I don't see any purpose to taking the time to seal the doors. Unless I'm misunderstanding.
That is fine.
Neither does Cav.
No, that makes sense. We've kind of been, you know, mopping things up as we go.
All right. Well, if you would care to head toward... Which entrance are we at, Ben?
You were at the one connecting to 8. So the front one, the way I'm calling it, the south one.
Yeah, the front one was in the middle in the hall, or towards... Yeah, okay. Farther away from the back corner.
Yes. So then there's more hallway that has been cleared, and as you continue on down the hallway, then off to your right is the other side of this, which also, like, little flickering fluorescent light, and there's nothing else really in there. You see a fragment of clone trooper armor, you see a couple squished B1s in there. It looks like, yeah, a grenade went off or two that then caused a partial roof collapse. There's so much damage in there that doesn't really look like anyone from the Pirates has bothered to clean it up. It just looks like too much work and no one's that bored.
Okay, well, Billy will acquiesce, obviously. But she's kind of going to hang back because she took that flicker seriously.
Cav will go ahead and follow behind her. And just because Billy is a bit concerned, and even though we disabled the airspeeder back around 6, Cav is going to instruct 4, 5, and 6 to kind of spread out back in room 8 and just alert Cav if anybody comes through there.
They would tweeter at you as to whether you're wanting them to engage fire suppression protocols.
I'm guessing that's K6 who asked that because only one of them is armed. And Cav looks at K6. Cav smiles because this is the bravest thing K6 has ever said. And Cav says,
No, alerting Cav and the crew should be sufficient.
Just out of curiosity, when you converse with your droids, are you just clicking at them and K1 is not translating, so we just hear all the clicking and we have no idea what you're actually saying to them?
Correct. That is actually how I've described it before, where the droids are beeping and making little noises. Cav is clicking, like Cav's mandibles and buzzing and doing a whole bunch of insectoid things, and K1 is silent. Cav will even give K6 a little pat on K6's, I guess, body, because they really are just head, and send them back towards 8. And then Cav will re-steady the crate's breath and continue.
All right. So as you proceed up, you get to the outside of the control center's door, and you find the blastor there sealed.
Is there a panel?
Yes, there is.
Cav is on it.
Cav will see about popping this open. If Cav thinks there's a mechanical way to bypass it, Cav will do that. Otherwise, Cav will start to slice.
All right. So as Cav starts slicing, there's enough fail safes in there that this would be a disturbingly large mechanics check versus computers. So with smoke starting to fill the hallway, I'm going to go with two purple, one red, and a setback.
Well, it doesn't matter because Cav is going to make use of Cav's new talent, Brace, and remove that setback die. Brace removes setback from next action due to environmental circumstance. So it's three yellow, a green, two boosts from K3 versus two purple and a red. Five successes and two advantages. This door is no problem for us. And in fact, Ben, with two advantages, when I'm slicing into this thing, is there any way I might be able to get something about what's on the other side of the, like, in the inside of this room? Like, is there a camera in there or maybe an access where I could send a droid or...
Okay, a droid hatch? Yeah, I could absolutely see that. The droid hatch makes a perfect amount of sense on account of this is a separatist base that has been repurposed. So, yeah, for two advantage, I could see popping that open as well as having the door open up.
I think if I can, this might be too much, but with the little droid hatch, could Cav like pause before completing the sequence to make use of that hatch before finishing opening the door? Or does it all happen simultaneously?
I could kind of see it, especially for, yeah. I'd prefer the light side, yes.
Okay, then I will spend it. So Cav will pause, kind of poised, finger over top of the, like, activate button from, like, K3's screen. And Cav will calm K5 and call K5 to come back up here and send the little blue droid through that little mouse droid compartment with instructions to just get to the edge, see what they see, and report in. And so I think we're going to go back into K5's camera view for a moment, Ben.
All right. So inside, K5 sees this is a fully restored control room for the facility. It's a large chamber filled with a lot of blinking computer terminals and miscellaneous equipment. At the center of the room stands a tall woman surrounded by pirate guards, her face obscured by a silver mask. Dressed in very fine clothing, as if she were about to leave for a dinner engagement.
Okay. She's the only one inside?
She's surrounded by guards.
How many guards?
In this particular case, I'm going with 8.
Cav will tell K5 to back out slowly, and Cav will relate.
There are 9 beings inside. One of them is the queen.
And you can get the door open?
Yes.
Ben.
Yeah.
Are we in the encounter that is going to encompass what happens in the room?
I would be going with, yeah, because as soon as that door opens and the roll to open the door has been done, so.
Sure. Okay. Barrowin would like to take an action then before we open the door, and it matters that I'm taking an action.
Okay.
She looks back at the crew and Cav's droids and Graf if he is here. I'm not really sure if he's here right now or continuing to murder pirates off screen.
No, he's there, ready with the rapier sword is back in his, he actually uses it as the cane more than the vibro rapier.
That probably makes all of us feel a little more comfortable, honestly. Well, everyone, this is it. We've had a long road getting here, but we've overcome a lot of really tough stuff, and I'm really proud of all of you and everything you've accomplished. And if we just stick together, we're going to get on the other side of this and get a really big payday. So be alert, help each other, and I know we can get through this. And I'm going to make a leadership role for Trust the Captain.
All right.
Ooh, what does that do?
Trust the Captain is a talent that I can take a hard leadership action to give allies within short range extra discipline, ranks equal to the number of ranks I have in Trust the Captain, which is currently just 1, for the remainder of the encounter, which is why I wanted to know if we were in the encounter yet.
Yeah.
So basically, hard leadership to give everybody 1 extra rank of discipline if I succeed. Well, everybody that's not me.
As a one-will character, I'm, you know, not gonna object.
It can't hurt.
And because last time, or after last time, I managed to finally pick up dedication for the low, low price of a 25 XP grit.
Yes, Huck, we're talking about you.
I have just three yellows in it now. And on that roll, Barrowin comes out with two successes and two advantage. So all allies within short range of Barrowin get one extra rank of discipline for the remainder of this encounter.
Cav's up to three ranks now.
Man, we are prepared for fear checks we're probably not going to have to roll.
I have two now. I am dos amarillos, and we're good.
So I'm assuming the door opens?
After Barrowin has made her speech, I think, yeah.
We have an access into the room. Throw a grenade in there or something.
I did contemplate that. That also might get a little a little tricky, but maybe. All right, so Cav will make sure to get to the side before pressing that button.
Yeah, Barrowin will stack up on the other side of the door.
And the door opens.
No one is in the doorway.
That seems like the worst possible place to be.
Well, yeah, like for you. I'm assuming that the four of you have taken some form of cover.
Seems fair, yeah.
I think we're probably just lining up on either side of the door.
Yes.
But, you know, pressed against the wall.
And as the door opens, you hear a mechanical, modulated voice of,
I cannot allow you to take me away, but I will make you an offer. Allow me to match the payment you expect to receive from the consortium, and then leave this place at once. I guarantee you we'll all be much happier that way.
Barrowin, is the queen trying to buy us off?
Yes, Cav, I think that's what she's doing.
Should we be using our names right now?
Cav doesn't understand.
It's simply an omission.
To not use your name would be a lie.
A lie of omission is still a lie.
Cav doesn't understand.
The pirates are all just looking at each other like, who are these people?
And they're just like,
these guys got this far?
Yeah, they're like, how the heck did they get here?
And then, standing, having not taken cover, there's Graf in the middle of the doorway.
What?
He has a death wish.
Graf.
Coldly pulls a hold-up blaster and points it at Barrowin, saying, you really should take a... take her deal as she says it.
Wait a second. Were you with her the entire time?
Are we rolling initiative? I fear this answer.
Yeah, at this time, I'm going with initiative.
Oh. Vigilance or cool?
This one makes most sense for cool. Because y'all knew that this was coming. There's no... like.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely sensible. I was slightly hoping that Graf's double cross would allow for vigilance, because I'm better at that, but I also will... cool is what I would probably ask for.
What?
Guys, we're not good at initiative. I don't know if you realize that.
I'm real good at vigilance initiative.
Oh my word.
What was that, Ben? What did we determine before? Two triumphs is an action?
Ben, stop rolling these things. I don't like this.
I mean, that's a logical extension of the rule.
I think it's how we've ruled previous hero seasons when this has happened.
That pretty much... yeah, okay, on account of... okay, so NPCs are rolling initiative after the heroes, and the heroes honestly did a pretty good job of rolling. It's just that... let's see, we started with the queen rolling, and... the queen got three success and four advantage, which put them out in the lead. Then we had one success and five advantage, so like middle of the pack. And then another minion group got two success, one advantage, but those two successes come from triumphs. So it's two triumphs.
One in 144 shot right there.
And now?
Yeah, there's probably two minion groups, the queen and Graf.
So, NP.
Got in one. Yep. The other thing, Graf is not that great.
Yeah, he's old.
I'll say he's not that great. Thanks, Ben!
Just remember, everybody, what I said before about togetherness and perseverance.
And then the minion groups are just quickly going to be cut down to paste. Okay, so first I'm going to deal with the two... as much as I kind of want to have the advantages or the triumphs be in action, I kind of want to use it as two maneuvers. I know it sounds weird, but I want to use it as two free maneuvers. And in this particular case, it's going to be drawing a set of vibro axes and running at the door. to get to engaged.
Are they targeting somebody? Are they running towards somebody specifically yet? Or
yeah, they're going left side.
Well, they can't see us yet. We're still on either side bickering.
I think Cav is probably just if we're facing the door, I think Cav's just to the right because of the control panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Barrowin was on the other side of the door from Cav.
So the Barrowin's on the left, and then where are Vastrano and Billy, right or left?
Well, Billy was bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
So she was probably on, would that be the right closest to the corner?
Okay, yeah. So it's Cav and Billy on the right, Barrowin and Vastrano on the left?
Yeah, I had been tagging along with Cav a fair bit, but I really think that when Barrowin was giving that inspirational speech, that Vastrano was just kind of, you know, eyes wide, nodding along, like, yeah, yeah, this is great. I back you up.
Okay, so then from our perspective, when the minion group comes out, do they go to our left or our right?
Let's just keep one direction going with this. So they're going after Barrowin and Vastrano.
Gotcha.
Just on account of that way we keep one definition of left.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, they have drawn vibro axes and are running towards Barrowin and Vastrano, and they are now engaged. And I'm kind of figuring that they're going to be taking a swing at Barrowin.
Seems fair.
On account of large otter type being.
Barrowin is a vibro axe magnet.
There are worse things to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with that. They're running forward and using the vibro axes to try and take a swing at Barrowin. So, full minion group doing a melee attack. They're already engaged, so I'm going to... And yeah, there's nothing here that isn't short range. Well, like, maybe the back corner, but from where you guys are, or from where all y'all are, it's short range. I'm figuring that they're going to attempt to aim. One thing of note, these pirates have not just the red armbands, but they have the red sashes as well.
Mm. They're the most decorated. They're in charge.
Ooh.
Captain, I believe you should also have a sash when we survive this.
Billy, fashion consultant.
Let's see how much of Barrowin is left.
Yeah, we're just not going to do Act 2. We're just going to go find new lives where nobody shoots at us.
Is anyone wanting to flip a destiny point? Or
that is Brandon's goal.
Yeah, executive decision. I'm flipping a point. Captain's prerogative.
All right, so that will be 3 yellow because it's a full minion group of 4. And they've got 3 brawn. Yeah. And amazingly enough, like, group with vibro axes are trained in melee. They have a purple, a red, and a boost there.
Can they have a setback because Graf is in the way because he was already pointing a gun in Barrowin's face?
I'm figuring he was more at short range. They're now in the way of Graf shooting at Barrowin.
Well, that's something at least.
And they miss with 4 advantage.
Barrowin does some of that slinky Salonian dodging.
And how?
If they had gotten a despair, I was hoping that my grapnel launcher would just like appear from nowhere and take the brunt of the hit again, like the last time that somebody tried to kill me with a vibro axe.
Yeah.
One of the monkeys comes screaming in wearing it.
Well, you know, it was one of those things that in the forest, it was a heartfelt parting of ways, where Barrowin and the grapnel launcher realize that their paths were going in different directions. But this would be the moment where it came back. It like realized that its place was with Barrowin and would sacrifice itself to save her life.
So what does happen?
All right, so what I'm figuring is with 4 advantage, they're not hitting. But 4 advantage is quite a huge thing. So I am figuring the sparks that they have been hitting or causing from their axes hitting pretty much everything that isn't Barrowin cause a small hydraulic fluid, grease fluid, fire starting just in behind Barrowin and Vastrano. And as you're looking around, this place isn't exactly the cleanest sort of place. And because of that, it looks like, yeah, this fire is actually probably going to spread.
Cav, like fire on your own time.
Yeah, so I'm using the 4 advantage to create an environmental effect of, hey, look, now the place is on fire.
This is fine.
And then there's an PC slot to go.
I suggest somebody who's going to do something to the people in the room take that. Or Graf, for that matter.
I think somebody not Cav, somebody who could either assist Berowyn with her many problems or Berowyn herself.
I mean, from a tactical standpoint, Berowyn going to attack the guys who've already gone is maybe not our best use of a slot.
No, but you still have Graf to worry about, too.
Right. Somebody can take him out.
And Graf has a Billy to worry about.
Billy who's suddenly standing a little taller. A little loomier.
You want this, Leslie? Just that we become the dramatic camera shot of Olsen and Billy just like looming like anime character style, growing larger and larger behind Graf.
Yeah, I'd really like to see someone take him out.
I'm cool with that.
Bring the fear.
I'm pretty cool with that too. I'm going to toss a dark side point on this.
Okay, what are you dark siding? Because you don't even know what I'm doing.
I'm going with Graf is dropping his hold up blaster and pulling out his vibro rapier. It's an incidental. And then that gives me a really good thing on what I can do with the despair on a roll. I'm just sort of figuring mechanically when he switches to the other side, he's no longer allied, therefore he drops it.
So Billy straightens up. That was a poor choice, Graf. And she is going to go bowling for bad guys. Unfortunately, I'm going to fearsome at him
and good to
the
know.
Others. But that doesn't take effect until their turns, correct?
Yeah. At least that's the way we've been handling it with Billy.
Which I don't personally support because, you know, I have to wait and I'm so good at that. But so I want to try for my traditional pre-fight donut and throw Graf into the other two.
The other group or the group of minions?
Into the minions.
All right. The 4 of them. Gotcha.
The ones not currently engaged a bear one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, see, I was going to throw them into the ones that were engaged with bear one.
Go for it. I was just seeking clarification.
But if somebody wants to incidentally tell me, distract the people in there too, I'll throw Graf into the room. That's fine too. Okay. So bowling for baddies. I would like to hurl Graf, please. What is my difficulty?
In this case, I'm going to do it as essentially a brawl check.
I mean, we did brawl last time, so that's...
Yeah, like, this just makes sense as a brawl. So, it'll be, in this case, 1 purple, 1 red, because I flipped the destiny point, and a melee defense. So, 1, 1, and 1.
Yeah, I knew the setback would be in there.
And I can't have the rapier.
Rapier.
Thrown metahuman body.
So, brawl, do you guys mind if I use one of those light side points? Do we have more than one now? I feel like we do.
Yes, because Ben flipped one against you. Or for the incidental or something. Ben just flipped one.
Yeah.
So, that will be... Can I have a boost for my rage?
Yeah, sure. I'll go with it.
Sweet!
What do you got?
I got 3 success, 2 threat, so I hurt my back. That's that old trick spine, obviously. And a triumph.
All right, so out of curiosity, what would that be for punching damage?
Damage? Well, it's no vibro knuckles, so it's just my brawn plus the successes, correct?
Correct.
So 6.
All right.
Does that kill Graf by any chance?
He is.
And technically, he took a wound / strain last episode.
It's more along the lines of, you're not throwing him all that far. That's my only my hesitation.
No, but I am throwing at people that has vibro axes.
Yeah, but you're throwing him into the back of them.
I would think into the side of them. Because, I mean, we're parallel in the hall on either side of the door. We're up against the wall, so I pick up Graf from where he was somewhere near in front of me and hurl him along the side. Maybe I waft him. Like, I actually bodily lift and throw him up so he comes down on top of them.
Okay.
And since they're in the middle of trying to murderate my captain, they're swinging and stabbing and
Okay, my question really becomes, are you wanting to kill Graf or are you wanting to knock all of them over? That's kind of which way are we wanting to go with that?
Oh.
Like, because the three success and the triumph, I'm going with, like, strike, but... Like, you're doing six damage to him because I'm going with, yeah, you definitely get around his soak because that was a cool way of doing it. But that doesn't quite kill him, but if you're wanting to use a triumph, I'll definitely go with that he dies, or you can, like, completely knock them over instead of, like, just giving him, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, do we kill Graf? Do we knock over these people and have them take a little bit of damage, or how do you want to do it?
Team?
Kill the traitor.
Kill the traitor, or inconvenience them all?
Yeah.
I'm outvoted.
But you know what? I honestly, I like that the...
We helped him.
The idea of kind of knocking them all over, too.
Then go with that.
One fewer bad guy who hasn't gone this round.
So are you saying if I kill Graf, I can't knock any of them over?
I'm saying that instead of them being knocked over, you're going to be, like, wobbling them and giving them a setback or something on their next attack.
Okay, so how about this? I kill Graf and one of the minions with my triumph, and the other three are fine.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay, so here's what happens. Billy straightens up and leans forward and says, "That was a poor decision, Graf," and picks him up by the throat and by a leg, and then lifts and twists and hurls him like a dart or a javelin, like only two-handed, into the flailing bunch of bad guys. But what happens is the other three, they're swinging, and they kind of just happen to be, like, he misses them, but he collides head into head of the one on the very end, and then they both go flailing and tumbling in a ridiculous mess, skidding into the fire. Sorry for everybody who can smell things. Mm-hmm.
So then, if I'm not mistaken, that brings us to two NPC slots. So the way that this is going to go, because I don't want to mess with that. Actually, it doesn't matter if I mess with that now, because we're not modifying it.
Oh, what do you want for my two threat, dear?
So as you're doing that, the woman dressed in a dressed in fine clothing ducks in behind a large chair, and as she's doing that, command chair is about the best way that I can put it, like the Emperor's, just slightly different. So for the two threat, she's getting a maneuver and is ducking in behind cover. Then I'm going with she gets to go on account of NPC slot. And she will have her blaster pistol out and is taking a shot at Billy, who is big looming in the doorway that she can see.
Makes sense.
Can I at least be partially obscured?
Considering Graf was kind of out in the open there, and...
You could spend a destiny point, though.
Yeah, we have one.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Okay.
I think I'll wait just yet.
Yeah, we're not sure how powerful this blaster is. Or how good the queen even is with it.
Let's find out. She's only a nemesis. Who has an adventure named after her?
Yeah, you can be a nemesis who's terrible at ranged.
Oh, but there is environmental, in the hallway at least, there is environmental distractions. There's smoke obscuring us in mystery.
Yeah, I think smoke concealment will require more like advantages.
Yeah, it needs to get worse before it's obscuring.
That's fine. Well, now there's some smoldering clothing and flesh, so.
And so it begins.
All right, so yeah, they pull their blaster and are shooting at Billy. Billy doesn't have any ranged defense. Success. Flipping a destiny point.
What?
Flipping a destiny point to get... to use soft spot. Spend a destiny point to add 4 damage to one successful non-starship attack.
I'm a droid! I don't have soft spots.
Not your card compartment.
You have spots that are less armored.
And in doing so, it does 12 damage.
No.
12 total, including the 4 extra.
12? Okay. I was about to say 12 and the 4.
Soul Spot's another one of those talents that's like the one that Britt has.
So how is Billy doing? Like, what does that look like to us?
I am at 11.
Of?
17.
Okay, so this probably did blow a like significant hole in like her side or chest or something.
So Billy would, if she were if she were biologic, she'd be standing there doing that thing, but she wasn't. She was just coldly watching them burn when out of nowhere, I'm going to say it probably goes across the front of her torso. And that way she has, you know, it's a soft spot. So it kind of hits a seam and blasts part of her casing open.
Okay.
And you see her kind of do the whole body shift left into the wall.
In that case, the second group. Okay, that puts us to the last of the NPCs.
Billy!
Going next, which are going to be the rest of the guard are pulling out a... The rest of them are pulling out their blaster carbines and are trying to shoot at the corner where the droid came from, aka shooting at Cav behind cover.
Okay. Yeah, Cav does have cover. Cav has no defense. And then what is her distance?
2 and 1. Or 2 and 3.
I'm going to spend a lightsaber point, Ben.
What was her threat?
That's a good question. What was her threat?
Only one, so I don't know how you do one threat for a bad guy.
It could still be a strain. Nemesis have a, okay, have a strain, yeah, track.
Yep.
Let's wear her down.
Yep.
Yep. She's stressing a bit. She got a new ally, and that ally was removed immediately.
And then set on fire.
And then she shot the droid, and the droid did not go down.
On the other hand, the droid is sparking, so...
Yeah, droids do that all the time.
Well, let's see what happens to the Gand.
All right, they are...
Light-sighted for safety.
Yes, because Cav is very squishy.
Especially right now.
And Cav is already injured.
I'm coming up with a standard roll, apparently. The second NPC squad in a row has gotten 2 successes and 1 advantage. Thankfully for Cav, they don't have soft spot. On the other hand, they do have blaster carbines, which means that this is 11 damage before soak.
11? Okay, so 11 damage. Cav is barely standing. Cav has taken 10 out of Cav's 12 wounds, but Cav is still standing. As these blaster shots start to hit the corner, Cav is around, and one of them catches Cav in the shoulder. And Cav buzzes kind of loudly, and actually K3 scurries off of Cav's arm, trying to get out of the way. And so that is now it's up to us. So Brandon, what's your ingenious plan?
Well, given what has happened in the last 2 turns, I'm not entirely sure it's the best way to go. But I was contemplating passing Berwin's grav binders to Vistrano and just being like, Vistrano, get these on the queen by any means necessary.
I don't know that you're going to be able to stop Doctor from doctoring.
Depends on whether the Doctor listens to Berwin.
If Berwin is thrusting those in Vistrano's hands and saying that, Vistrano will nod his head yes and agree. Because of trust the captain.
So that would be on the assumption that if we neutralize the queen, we can maybe get the rest of these dudes to stand down.
Makes sense. Hail Mary play.
And Kazrol will just be cover Vistrano.
Gotcha.
So
that would be what, one of your maneuvers?
It might require 2 since I technically have to like get the binders out and also pass them, so that's up to Ben if that's 1 maneuver or 2.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like 2.
I'm prepared for it to be 2. Okay, and then for my action, I am going to use Field Commander.
Okay, I don't remember what that does.
So I roll a an average leadership check. If I succeed, then a number of allies equal to my presence, which is 3 now, so it can be all 3 of you, can suffer a strain to perform a free maneuver. A like totally free exceeds the normal 2 maneuvers per round limitation.
Nice.
Okay.
Cool.
If I pass.
I like
so,
this plan.
I am upgrading the roll.
Yep, noticed. So I've got 3 yellows, a red, and a purple.
Mostly just because this is a relatively safe one that I can upgrade?
Yep.
Kind of?
Yeah, I'm not going to die if I get a despair. Okay.
But will Billy?
And Berowyn squeaks by with a single success, which means three allies may take one strain to perform a free maneuver right now.
Cav will do so, and Cav's maneuver is to draw Cav's frag grenade.
Okay. And Berowyn is just, tosses the binders to Vastrano, says, Vastrano, get these on the queen. Cav, cover Vastrano.
Cav is on it.
Vastrano just nods and takes them and kind of just looks ready.
From her slightly hunched up position, one hand open in front of her as though she would be holding blood on her hand, like that dramatic shot. And what would you have me do, Captain?
Don't die?
Very well. One strain, repair patch.
Yeah, that's a good use of strain. And Britt, did you want to take a strain to take a maneuver?
Yes, that makes sense. I just one point of clarify, because we're still running on my having been rolled the obligation, I'm still technically down strain threshold.
Yeah, we'd all be down one.
Yes, you'd be down two.
I can still afford that. It's okay.
Yeah, so that could be like a move or something, or even could like bring you engaged with somebody else if you wanted to do some doctoring on your way to the queen with maneuvers, or
yeah, defensive posture, I suppose, or aim. I guess aiming doesn't make a lot of sense yet.
No, that's an action. Oh crap.
You can just move and make your life easier. I mean, that is legit.
Yeah, I mean, doing the moving, because I mean, you gave me an order. I should start executing on the order. You know, start moving towards the destination. So that makes the most sense.
Is the other minion group engaged with the queen?
No, it is not.
Good. If you don't mind, Britt, Cav's going to help clear the way.
Sounds perfect.
Cav is going to burn two. Actually, we're going to do two things here. The first thing is, when all this shooting starts happening and Billy gets hit and Cav's hurt, Cav's going to look towards K1 and try to tell K1,
repair patch Billy.
And K1 is probably going to run away.
You know, that's kind of fair.
But Billy is her friend.
Also, if you're rolling fear checks, Christine.
Oh, that's true. Okay, there you go. I will give her, if Ben doesn't mind, I'm going to do an arbitrary, just random discipline check to see if there's any chance she'll actually do it.
That's fair. I'll toss in the boost.
Well, she should have an extra rank of discipline because she's one of Berowyn's allies.
That too.
Don't worry, she only has one willpower, though. Oh my god. Okay, this is why I do these things. So I made it a hard discipline check because K1 has been shown time and time again to hate combat. And when Cav orders her to do that, K1 like pulls out the repair patch in her little hands, starts to like look back and forth like she wants to run. It's going to use a maneuver to move up to Billy and a maneuver to slap another repair patch on Billy.
Oh.
So three more, and that's K1. Cav, in three threat, she's out of... What, she's probably out in the open and panicking. She's a big floating target right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is she big, though?
She's bigger than K4, 5, and 6. I mean, she's like head-sized.
Yeah.
So, I think she's made herself a really big target. Cav is going to use two maneuvers to aim as Cav kind of just ducks out of cover for a second, is going to chuck the frag grenade at the other minion group, the one that just shot Cav.
All right. So, in that case... the roll for doing that would be a red and two setback.
Okay.
On account of short range, they're behind cover, they have defense, and I flipped a destiny point.
Okay. All right, I flipped a destiny point as well. Let's do this. Seven advantages, but I can only I didn't hit, so I can activate blast on a miss.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spend two advantages to deal out the blast six to the minion group, Ben.
All right. There's a second minion group. And blast is the one that gives Ben a headache.
Yeah.
It's to everyone within range, isn't it?
It's to everyone within... to everyone with engage, which means the entire minion group is engaged to it. So they take the damage individually. So instead of blowing up one of the guys, you...
Hurt a bunch of them.
Yeah, you hurt a bunch of them a bit. So to take this group out again is going to be a lot easier.
Yep. Cavs help soften them up. And actually, when this blast goes off, it kind of, they were hiding behind kind of like a table, right?
Yeah, they were hiding in behind a console. They sort of upended.
Okay.
What console?
Looking at the map, there's a conference table in the middle that these people have upended and are hiding behind. Off to the right is two other consoles and then like the hollow projector chair thing. So the queen is off to the right. They're in behind the conference table that is now upended. That is, I'm assuming, probably destroyed or something.
I'm not going to destroy it. However, a chunk of it is missing as the grenade goes off and bits of the, what is it, like plasteel or whatever this thing was made out of go flying. And it's going to create a bit of a distraction and an opening for Vistrano, as I'm going to use one advantage to pass a boost on to the next person to go, and two advantages to pass a boost on to Vistrano specifically. And then with my final two advantages, Cav is going to recover two strain.
That is a very cool way of doing that.
Actually, scratch that. My last two, I'm going to use a free maneuver and stimpack myself.
Okay. How much does that recover?
Only three, because this is Cav's third stimpack of the day.
All right.
It's not going to keep Cav up if they get hit with the carbine again, but it's going to maybe do something. Makes Cav feel better about life.
All right. So.
That's really good work, by the way, everyone. Good going, guys. Way to team it up.
I believe in everybody.
All right. And that brings us to Vistrano.
All right. Vistrano is very trusting in his captain right now. Is feeling very boosted by Cav. Has binders in his hand and is, oh gosh, there's a lot of pressure. It's not a straight run to the queen, correct? There's still minion groups in the way.
Yeah, I would go with it would take two maneuvers to actually get to the queen from where you had been hiding in behind things. Mm-hmm. And one of those would be like pretty much running past just after this grenade goes off. You're just outside the blast radius of it. You're ducking past there, and then if you're hopping past these consoles towards the queen.
Okay, but it's still possible that this is the moment that yes, okay. So Vistrano is gonna gulp and rush around. Oh gosh. The one will doesn't make it very easy for him to do it, but Barrowin was very inspiring, so yep. Rush in.
Where angels fear to tread.
There are two light side points remaining, Britt.
Absolutely use one.
All right.
Yep.
Will do. Strano will flip that metaphor destiny.
All right. I'm kind of figuring that this also should be flipped back.
It's okay.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I mean, it's only a two red brawl check. Or would that be a melee? Like, I know it's the same skill or same rank level, but it kind of feels more like a melee check.
They're both identical for me, actually, so it doesn't matter.
And that's why Barrowin gave them to Vistrano.
So does Vistrano do the dead grim run-in or the run-in screaming and flailing?
Not screaming and flailing. I don't really feel like Vistrano is a screaming flail kind of fella, I think.
It's the quiet hustle.
It's definitely like these things were just thrust into his hands. He gulps, resigns himself, and kind of runs, but like he's like low to the ground kind of run. Like he's okay. Still like not super sure of himself. It's like a hunched
coat flapping behind him.
Hunched coat flapping run. Yes. Up to the, oh gosh, to the
queen.
I feel like there's a moment like right before he gets to the queen where like his heels just like really want to skid, but then he doesn't and he keeps going and tries to do what Barrowin told him to do.
All right. So yeah, it'll be two red, which is me upgrading it once and them having adversary one.
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. And I also have my two boosts, correct?
Yep. From absolutely.
Off. And a boost for cool?
I'm cool. Kind of going with, if I do that, that also kind of sounds like there should be a setback on there too.
Okay.
On account of Vistrano sounds kind of iffy. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm willing to toss in both, but it's one of those things of either neither or both.
Your call, right. Britt.
I'm just going to hit enter. skids to a stop and tries
and
to fulfill his captain's orders.
Oh.
Oh gosh, and only gets one sad little measly advantage.
So what happens here?
That's an excellent question.
I did mention the word skids a couple times. Maybe so I obviously don't get the binders on, but mm-hmm. maybe I skid and I am just hesitant enough that I skid and I slip, and maybe I trip her slightly. So that she's just a little off kilter for the next thing she tries to do.
Okay, I'll totally take that.
It's, you know, it's awkward, but so is Pastrano.
That absolutely works well. That, yeah. okay, so, let me just do a recap on where everyone is. So, we have Berwin engaged with three axe-wielding minions of the Queen's Guard. We have four carbine-wielding pirates of the Queen's Guard in behind a flipped-over conference table. We've got the Pirate Queen of Estrano in hand-to-hand combat. The Pirate Queen has a trusty blaster out and a vibro knife on her person and her helmet still on. We've got Cav, who's taken a fair chunk of damage. We've got Billy, who's been shot by the Pirate Queen. We have Berwin, who has been missed, but he is standing pretty close to a fire which has two corpses inside and are starting to smolder on account of Billy's actually pretty scary.
Yes, I am.
And Billy's sort of standing in the middle of the doorway next to K1 and is proceeding to get more and more engulfed in smoke.
Ooh, smoke.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, and Cav on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2 TH and Night with a K.
And I, Brandon, am on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I guess you can still find me at Leslet.gs. The world hasn't ended yet.
And I am Brit, and I am still Atomic Firebird, even though that fire is sounding not good right now.
And we are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate some successes, please, to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
Today, it is Billy's turn to ask.
Captain Berwin.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered a hat?
Probably.
Billy reaches over. High five.
Yes! That is permission, Billy.
Hold on. I can do this.
Possibly.
No, it's stuff.
It wouldn't sound like that, though, because your hands melt.
Oh, Leslie's dumb.
Clang.